إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session from the advice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which is known today as al-wasiyyah al-sughra, the concise legacy or advice, and he dealing with the means of uprightness of the religious and worldly life and the importance of the remembrance of Allah and ad-du'a and tawakkul ala Allah and so on. The subject that we're going to talk about tonight is connected to the second question that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah addresses, that is the most important or the best of voluntary deeds that one can do after the obligatory duty deeds, after the obligatory duties. And we said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said that, there's no one answer for everyone concerning this, but what is considered to be almost like ijma' is that, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, in general, overall, the best of all voluntary deeds after the obligatory deeds is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. And at the end of this answer concerning the remembrance of Allah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah adds to this particular point, that which should accompany dhikr, and that is ad-du'a. Specifically, al-istikhara and ad-du'a in general. Ad-du'a in general. And if we have seen the importance of the remembrance of Allah, the dhikrullah, in all types of situations and circumstances, then we should also see and understand and appreciate the importance of ad-du'a. Ad-du'a in general, calling upon Allah for every need in every situation or circumstance, and more specifically, al-istikhara. So our topic tonight is dealing with al-istikhara specifically and ad-du'a, the importance of continuous calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every, for every one of our needs. Before we enter into the topic for tonight, quickly we want to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the study guide number 12. The first question being, what is the least amount of dhikr that a person must perform to be considered amongst those who remember Allah much? What is the least amount of dhikr that a person must perform? Naam. Musa.
For the servant to stick to those narration that are narrated that are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That a person should stick to those narrations, the adhkar al-ma'thura an al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, that a person should stick to those adhkar that have been transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And specifically, he said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, like the adhkar al-mu'akkata. Mu'akkata. That is those adhkar which are connected to specific times, and al-adhkar al-muqayyada, those that are connected to specific matters or affairs. And then that the servant must stick to the remembrance of Allah, mutlaqan, in general, remembering Allah in general. Naam. So it is incumbent upon us then, whoever wants to receive the great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for those who remember Him much, الذاكرين الله كثيراً والذاكرات, the men and women who remember Allah a lot, frequently, all the time, then the least is that a person has to adhere and strictly keep their heart and their mind and their tongue attached to the remembrance of Allah at specific times and on specific occasions, and remembrance of Allah in general. After this, explain what is meant by al-adhkar al-mu'akkata, with examples, mu'akkata. Naam. Ahmed. Okay, the adhkar that's tied to specific times, like أذكار الصباح والمساء. The أذكار that is to be يعني recited in the morning and in the evening. يعني in the morning after Fajr and in the evening after Asr. Or whatever time a person is able to. But those are the best times, right? And like, as well, he mentioned other examples of أذكار المؤقتة. He said, okay, then, but he said, يعني, at the time a person going to sleep, and at the time when a person is waking up in the morning, and at the ends, after the five obligatory prayers, And those specific times are very, very important, and there are other times as well. Naam, but the point is, right, that there are certain adhkar that are connected to specific times, and a person should be aware of them, should try to learn them, and should try to adhere to the recitation of these words of remembrance, yani with consciousness, yani full consciousness of heart and mind, and knowing and understanding the meaning of what is being said, believing in it, and reciting it with sincerity. Question number 3, what is meant by al-adhkar al-muqayyada, with examples? Al-muqayyada, with examples. Naam. What do we mean by muqayyada? Naam, Jamil, Abu Jamil.
Dua that is restricted to
certain actions. Certain affairs, certain actions like?
Like putting on clothes,
getting undressed, and undressed. Naam, eating, drinking. Going into the bathroom or into the house or into the masjid and coming out of those places and so on. Naam. And again, yani the adhkar concerning these things are recorded, and there are books of authentic adhkar from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should give attention to, and we should yani do the best that we can to try to utilize them in our daily lives every day at these times and with these particular actions. Question number 4, explain what is meant by al-adhkar al-mutlaqa, with examples mentioning the best of them. Yani al-adhkar al-mutlaqa. Naam. That's not tied to a specific time or situation. Yani, meaning that unrestricted, general adhkar, that's not tied to any particular occasion, that a person can yani recite them at all times, in every situation or circumstance. Except, yani, in a situation where it's prohibited, yani, by the Sharia, by the Sunnah. Naam. Examples, yani, the best of this, naam, is La ilaha illallah. The best of the adhkar al-mutlaqa is that a person recites, understanding its meaning, with full consciousness of what they're saying, and not while being engaged in something else that is a distraction, and you're just saying it on the tongue, but rather should come from the heart. Person should be conscious of what they're saying, understand the meaning, and the significance and the magnitude of these words. They're not just words that yani sound good and we say them because we like to say them. Rather, we have to be considering, reflecting, pondering over their meanings so that it comes from the heart when it is expressed on the tongue. Naam, the best of them is La ilaha illallah, and from amongst the others yani that we can mention of great importance are Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar. And also he added to this what? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And concerning this, the Shaykh, he says, in terms of the best of the adhkar al-mutlaqa, that it is La ilaha illallah. Give an example of when a word of dhikr of lesser importance than La ilaha illallah can be considered superior to it. Can be considered superior to it. Mustafa.
For example, if somebody says something about Allah, that's not true.
Somebody says something false about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is most appropriate is not to say La ilaha illallah, but rather say Subhanallah, meaning that it is the declaration, tasbih, it is the declaration that Allah is free from any kind of shortcoming or defect or imperfection or whatever has been falsely ascribed to him. Yani that he has a son or that he has a child or that he has a spouse or any kind of falsehood that has been ascribed to him. To say Subhanallah. Another example. When the Muazzin is calling Adhan, if the Muazzin is saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the best thing to say is what he's saying. Repeat what the Muazzin is saying. Naam. And the Shaykh gave a few examples, but the point is that there are occasions or situations, special situations, in which those adhkar which are less in excellence, less than La ilaha illallah, in those situations are superior and better and more befitting that you should use them. Question number 6, memorize the hadith, the most beloved speech or expressions to Allah are 4. That is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Memorize this hadith. Now, Siddiq. Naam, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about these? Naam, Abu Jamil? On the authority of Samra ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, ahabbu al-kalami ila Allahi arba'un. Yani the most beloved speech to Allah, most beloved to Allah, are 4 words or 4 expressions. And then he said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. This is the best speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh also mentioned another hadith also reported by Imam Muslim, yani which has that kind of significance showing the importance of these words, if anybody remembers. That he said, لَأَنْ أَقُولُ يعني that I say Subhanallah, والحمد لله, ولا إله إلا الله, والله أكبر is what? أحب إلي من ما طلعت عليه الشمس. يعني is more beloved to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني the first hadith is what? What is the most beloved speech to Allah? And in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that me saying these words are more beloved to me than what the sun has risen upon, meaning the whole dunya and all that is in it. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. And I hope that some of us, inshallah, we have engaged ourselves in this past week. After hearing these kind of hadith, we have engaged ourselves in the remembrance of Allah in general, and specifically with these great words of Tawheed and the great words of the yani tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tahmeed and tahleel and so on. That we have and begin to occupy ourselves more than we were before. And in other words, we were remembering Allah before, no doubt. Now, but we should now have stepped up a little bit. We cannot remain in the same condition and remain content with our situation. That we are praying 5 times a day and we're fasting in Ramadan and whatever, we're going to the masjid now and then or whatever. Rather, we have to step it up. Because life is short, it's fleeting, and we'll be out of here in a minute. And a person will wish, as how many ayahs in the Quran, oh, if we could go back. Oh, if I would go back, I would do better. Oh, so, it's too late now. It's too late now. Now is the time. And it will be too late then. Now is the time. Because there won't be any coming back. And question number 7 discussed the mithal, or the example given by the Prophet ﷺ of how these 4 words expiate sins. How these 4 words expiate sins. What was the mithal that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave? Somebody over here, somebody. You remember the example the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave about how these 4 words, Mustafa, Jazakallah khair.
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched a tree with his stick.
Nah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came across a dry tree that had leaves on it, and he struck it with a stick that he had in his hand. And what happened?
Leaves
began to fall. And then he said to his companions, that's how the sins of a person fall from what? Saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And these words, he said, they caused the sins of a person to fall from him. In the same way those leaves fell from this tree. So again, this is a tremendous inspiration for a human being who recognizes that they have sins. As the Prophet ﷺ said that everyone is sinning by day and by night. And it is only Allah who forgives sins. And this is one of the means of expiation of sins. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow up an evil deed with a good deed. It will erase it. It will remove it. And this is from the best of good deeds. Saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, with consciousness of what we are saying. Believing it sincerely. Because otherwise people can say those words without having any benefit from them. If they don't know what it means and they don't really believe in it. Question number 8, memorize the supplication said when leaving one's home, which contains the words La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now I'm in the back, Abdul Karim.
Wa
First word though? Bismillah. Bismillah. Uh-huh. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And again, this is also a tremendous expression that a person can benefit from. Who knows the hadith? Al-hadith is from At-Tirmidhi. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. إذا خرج الرجل من بيته what does that mean? إذا خرج الرجل من بيته when a man goes out of his house فيقول then he says بسم الله توكلت على الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ها نعم then what happens? يقال له حينئذ هديت وكفيت ووقيت at that time when a person leaves his house and he says those words, it will be said to him, you have been guided. You have been sufficed. You have been protected. فَيَتَنَهَّى لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ And then shaitan what? Withdraws from him. Shaitan withdraws from him. وَيَقُولُ شَيْطَانُ الْآخَرُ And another shaitan says to that one, what? كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَوُقِيَ What can you do with a man who has been guided by Allah, who has been sufficed by Allah, who has been protected by Allah? What can you do with such a man? Or a woman, or a person? Now, if a person says what? Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can we not say this? How can we leave our houses without saying this? Allah, shame on whoever doesn't take enough care or concern. After hearing this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, authentic hadith, sahih, and then they don't do it. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, no person will go forward until they ask about four or five matters. And from amongst them he said, مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ What have you done? What did you do with that which you knew? You will be questioned. You knew it, but you didn't do it. Naam. We have to change. We have to do better. We cannot be content with our condition. And the ninth question mentioned three magnificent benefits of reciting this supplication sincerely from the heart while knowing its meaning. What are three of the benefits? Magnificent, tremendous benefits. Naam. Naam. Al-Hidayah. Person will be guided and?
Suffice.
And suffice. Kifaya. And Wiqaya. Person will be protected. And shaitan will withdraw also. Naam. And the last question discussed, the author's closing statement, that is Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah's closing statement concerning the comprehensive definition of dhikrullah, which includes more than what has been mentioned under the three previously mentioned categories of adhkar. Which includes more than al-adhkar al-muqqata or adhkar al-muqayyada and adhkar al-mutlaqa. Includes more than that. What is the comprehensive definition that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah gave in the end of this discussion? Naam, Sadiq. Huh? Sitting, learning knowledge. And also teaching it. Learning ahkam, naam. All of this is part of the remembrance of Allah. But the statement that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, that is the meaning of what he said. But specifically he said, that we should know that everything, كُلُّ مَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ بِاللِّسَانِ Everything that a person says with their tongue, وَتَصَوَّرُهُ الْقَلْبِ And the heart, envisions, conceptualizes. Whatever is spoken on the tongue or that is contained in the heart, مِمَّا يُقَرِّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ Those things that from that which brings a person near to Allah, whether it is learning or teaching knowledge, or whether it is enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong, all of this is مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ So that the meaning, the ذِكْر of Allah is not just saying certain words. Rather, everything that is spoken on the tongue, everything that is conceived in the heart, from those things that bring a person near to Allah is remembrance of Allah. Naam. And from the greatest of them is that a person is learning, sitting in the places of gathering for knowledge, majalis al-ilm. That a person is learning the deen of Allah, the ahkam of the deen of Allah. Learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learning, first and foremost, the foundation of Islam. Which is what? Al-aqidah. Al-aqidah, the usul of Islam, the aqidah. Learning the correct aqidah. And then the ibadah. And the akhlaq. And adab. And muamalat. But first, the foundation is the aqidah. Whoever is learning the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah and the matters related to iman and that which is obligatory that Allah has rights over us that we must offer to Him. This is from the dhikr of Allah, from the greatest of the dhikr of Allah. Now this is what we talked about last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, very important topic, and I hope. I sat with some brothers about 10 or 12 years ago reading this same book with a small explanation, Al-Wasiyah Sughra. The whole explanation in Arabic was about 5 or 6 pages. The whole explanation. And subhanAllah, it affected me so tremendously that I started to translate Adhkar and Ad'iyah. And those books there, all of those books came from that time. From reading this book, it made me understand the importance of Al-Dhikr and Dua. And I said to myself, as I read the explanation of the scholars for those adhkar, they have to be shared with other people. Because people are not, they are reading the Fortress of the Muslim, the meaning of the word, but not with the explanation. So a person has to read these things, understand their meanings, their significance, their importance, their benefits. And then we have to utilize them. So, tonight, inshallah, if you're reading from the Arabic Sharh, we're reading from page of the Arabic Sharh 55 to the top of page 59, from page 55. And that's the top of page 55. If you're reading from the smaller English translation, the first one that was published is on page 19 under the title Istikhara, the first paragraph. And Dar es Salaam's more recent translation or printing, it starts on page 50, the top of page 59, under the same title, Istikhara, and goes up until page 65. Naam? And if you're reading from the Arabic Sharh, page 55, top of page 55. So we begin by mentioning the praise of Allah, رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحاب وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for salat and salam on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his companions, all of them, after this, فَيَقُولُ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ عَبْدِ الْحَلِيمِ بْنِ عَبْدِ السَّلَامِ بْنِ تَيْمِيَ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي وَصِيَّتِهِ. That Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says in his wasiyyah, Abu al-Qasim, rahimahullah, he says, and this is at the end of the second issue, that is, to inform me or make me to know what is the best of voluntary deeds, righteous deeds that a person can do after the obligatory deeds. At the end of the answer to that question, where he talked about dhikr, then he mentions here dua, but specifically istikhara and then dua in general. He said, وَمَا اشْتَبَهَ أَمْرُهُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالْإِسْتِخَارَ الْمَشْرُوعَ. مَا اشْتَبَهَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ, that which became unclear to a person, doubtful, and they're not sure about the affair of that thing. Is it something that will bring good or evil? Is it bad? Or what is its real condition? A person is unclear about a matter. فَعَلَيْهِ بِالْإِسْتِخَارَ. Then it is incumbent upon him to pray istikhara. Al-mashru'a, the legislated istikhara, that's legislated in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا نَدِمَ مَنْ اسْتَخَارَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And the person who seeks guidance and that which is for that which is khair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never regret. They will never regret. فَمَا نَدِمَ. The one who seeks guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning that which is khair, what is good for them and what is not, they will never regret. وَلْيُكْفِرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَمِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. And then he says, and it is incumbent upon one to increase, to yani make istikhara a lot, kathira. It is incumbent upon one to do this. Not once a year, once in a lifetime, regularly, whenever there's a need for it. In every affair that you're unsure about, you ask Allah's guidance in it. Well, yukfir min dhalika, wa min ad-du'a, and also from du'a in general, فَإِنَّهُ يعني الدُّعَاء فَإِنَّهُ مِفْتَعْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. For it is the key to every khayr. يعني du'a is the key that opens the door for every khayr. There's no way to get the khayr except through the door that's opened with the key of du'a, of calling upon Allah. There's no way to khayr except by calling upon Allah. وَلَا يَعَجَلْ فَيَكُولُ قَدْ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. And he must not be hasty, such that he says, I have called, I have supplicated, I have asked Allah, and I have not been answered, and I have not been responded to. He must not do this. And this is common amongst people. They might ask once or twice, and then they give up. They become bored with asking, and then they stop asking. وَلْيَتَحَرَّ الْأَوْقَاتَ الْفَاضِلَةَ. And the person must seek out, yani search for al-awqat al-fadila, the preferred, preferable, superior times of supplicating. Yani a person can supplicate any time, but there are some times that are better than others. Like what? Like akhir al-layl, wa adbar al-salawat, wa end al-adhan, wa waqt al-nuzul al-matar, wa nahwi dhalika. Yani the awqat al-fadila, like the end of the night, the last part of the night before dawn. And adbar as-salawat, and in the ending of the salat. And some scholars said it means, yani after the end of the salat, and some said at the end of the salat before ending. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that in terms of dua, the best time for it is before the taslim, not after, while you're in connection, in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the time of the adhan, and at the time of the descending of rain, and that which is similar to that. At the time when it rains, you're walking in the rain, this is a time for dua. This is a preferred time for dua, when the rain is descending upon you. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect both of them, him and his father. He says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, صلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. يعني this is how he opens up as he explains this portion that we just read from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, he says, يبين شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى في هذا الموضع أهمية الاستخارة وعظم شأنها وكبر أعدتها وشدة حاجة العبد إليها. Huh? Think about this. He said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he makes clear here in this place, ahammiyat al-istikhara, the importance of istikhara. Some of us, we don't know that it's important. And the proof that we don't know that it's important, we don't use it. It must not be important. He is making clear to us the importance of istikhara and the greatness of its affair, the magnitude and the magnificence of its affair and that which comes back to the person who performs it, meaning the benefits that will come to you as a result of praying istikhara. And finally he said, وَشِدَّتْ حَاجَةِ الْعَبْدِ إِلَيْهَا. Yani the severity of the need of the person to istikhara. How great is our need to istikhara? He's making clear to us how much we are in need of istikhara. And by the way, yani in general, just quickly, yani istikhara, yani linguistically, istikhara, it means to seek khayr, the good that's in something. We want the good, that we're asking Allah for the khayr. And istilahan, technically it means, yani seeking, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose for us that in which the khayr is in, and to turn, yani our desires away from that which is not good, and towards that which is chosen by Allah and preferred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing salat or by the dua that has been narrated in the authentic hadith. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, yani here makes clear to us the importance of istikhara and its greatness and its magnificence and the benefits that comes to it and the magnitude of our need of this istikhara. And then the Shaykh says, وَهِيَ minnatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala ummatil islam, ummatil muhammadin, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. عوضاً وكرامةً من الله سبحانه وتعالى لهم أما كان عليه أهل الجاهلية من الاستقسام بالأزلام والتشاؤم بالطيور وزجرها. استخارة, it is a favor, a blessing from Allah سبحانه وتعالى upon the Ummah of Islam, upon the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. عِوَضًا وَقَرَامَةً, يعني Allah gave us istikhara in place of, and as an honor to this ummah, to this ummah, from what the people of Jahiliyyah were upon. يعني Allah gave us istikhara instead of what they, when they wanted to make a decision, what did they do? They used to draw lots, divining arrows. Pick an arrow, whichever one comes out decides what you do. يعني based on what? They used to what? Take omens from birds. Yani the birds fly this way or that way or some other kind of way, tells you what to do. This was pure nonsense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us istikhara in place of that, and that is an honor to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people in Jahiliyyah, if the, one of them wanted to travel, or he wanted to marry, or he wanted to do some business, then he would cause the birds to flee, to fly. And based on which way they went or how they flew, then this would determine if he would go forth or he would hold back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the Ummah of Islam, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِالْعَافِيَةِ وَالسَّلَامَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَبَاطِيلِ, by blessing us to be free from, to be saved from, to be protected from this falsehood that the people of Jahiliyyah were upon. And then he replaced it, يعني with this great استخارة, الاستخارة العظيمة. And that is, عندما يشتبه على المسلم أمر من الأمور. يعني when do we use استخارة? When some one of the affairs becomes unclear, becomes dubious, obscure, doubtful to a person. He's not really sure about this matter. لا يتبين له فيه المصلحة من المفسدة. يعني it's not clear to him, is there going to be a benefit in this? Or a mafsada, something harmful? I'm not really sure how this would go. أو الإقدام للإحجام. يعني should he go forward with it or should he hold back? أو الفعل الترك. Should he do this or should he leave it? فيكون الأمر مشتبها عليه. So in this case, يعني the affair is unclear, it's obscure, it's dubious, it's doubtful to the person. ففي مثل هذه الحال تشرع الاستخارة. It is in this situation that istikhara is legislated. In this situation. This is when istikhara is legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, يعني Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he says, مَشْتَبَهَ عَمْرُهُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ. يعني when the affair is unclear to a person. أَمَّا الْأُمُورَ الْوَاضِحَاتِ لَا اسْتِخَارَ فِيهَا. As far as those affairs which are clear, there's no istikhara in those affairs. يعني the obligatory matters of the deen, the fara'id of Islam, the muharramat, the prohibited things. هذه كلها لا استخارة فيها. These things, there's no استخارة in that. And what Allah has made obligatory upon us, what He, يعني, made a duty upon us, what He prohibited us from, there's no استخارة in such matters. يجب على الإنسان أن يبادر ويسارع إلى الفرائض والواجبات. Rather, it is incumbent, obligatory upon the person to hasten quickly, without delay, to fulfill the obligatory duties, those things that Allah has made incumbent upon us. And likewise, it is obligatory upon the abd, it is obligatory upon the person, al-bu'd wajtinab al-muharramat wal-atham. And it is also obligatory to distance ourselves and to completely avoid the prohibited things and the sinful matters. So the obligatory duty and the prohibited thing, the affairs which are clear, crystal clear, there's no istikhara in these things. However, إِذَا اشْتَبَهَ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ عَمَلٌ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ, but when a certain deed becomes unclear to a person, or a trade transaction, or like the likeness of these things, or something that could be of benefit, a maslaha, وتحرر في ذلكم وتفقها وتبصر ففي مثل هذه الحال حال اشتباع الأمر تشرع الاستخارة. So in this kind of situation where the matter is unclear and the person seeks to find out whether it is good or not, he studies the matter, he examines it carefully, it is in this situation, in this condition, that istikhara is legislated. You don't really know. And Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, he repeats his statement, as far as the matter which is unclear to the person, then it is incumbent upon that person to perform al-istikhara al-mashru'a, the one that has been legislated. And here the Shaykh says the statement of Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, al-istikhara al-mashru'a, yani the legislated istikhara, فيه التحذير. In this expression, the legislated istikhara is a warning from that which we may find present from amongst the alfaz al-bid'iyya, yani the innovated expressions that the people are using for istikhara instead of that which Allah has legislated. وطرائق المحدثة, yani those ways that have been invented newly. They are not based upon the Sharia or the Sunnah. لا أصل لها في شرع الله تبارك وتعالى. They have no origin, no basis, no foundation in the law of Allah تبارك وتعالى. So these things are done, certain things are done that have been invented, that have been innovated. They have no basis in the Sharia. And this is at a time when a person is unclear about an affair. ولا يترجح عنده شيء. يعني he doesn't find one matter, one going one way or another to be yani preferable, to be more clear to him. So some of the people, they are doing an istikhara that's not from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. But every affair that doesn't have any origin in the Sharia, it is incumbent upon the abd to avoid it, to be warned from it. For indeed in the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghunyatun wa kifaya. And is that which frees us of need, it is sufficient. What is in the Sharia of Allah is sufficient. We don't really need anything else. They said, but these people are social scientists. These people are psychologists and psychiatrists and social, I don't know, whatever it is, right? They have some good ideas. What Allah has legislated in Sharia is sufficient for us. We don't need that. They need that because they're lost in darkness. We don't need that. The guy on television, he's slick talker. I don't know, they have so many of them, I imagine, right? I don't know who's the most popular one today. And the people are listening, it used to be that lady. The billionaire lady. What's her name? Millions of people all the world listening to that nonsense. They're coming up with a different idea every day. None of it from the Quran and Sunnah. We are without need of that. We are without need of that. Wallahi, we are without need of that. Kufr, shirk, jahiliyyah, ignorance, darkness. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says what? So it is incumbent in this situation to use the istikhara that has been legislated in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَا نَدِمَ مَنْ إِسْتَخَارُ اللَّهِ. And the person who seeks يعني, guidance for that which is good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never regret. Meaning they will not be from the people who regret later on. يعني those who seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best choice, the best thing that they should do. They will never regret. They will not be of those people who do something and later on look back and say, why did I do that? Not if you turn to Allah. وَلَجَعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Yani the person who seeks refuge in Allah turns to Allah for shelter. مُؤْمِنًا بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي وَصِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Yani believing in the knowledge of Allah, whose knowledge encompasses everything. When you make an istikhara, you're asking Allah, the one who has knowledge of everything. Yani, and believing in the Qudratullah, yani the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, التي شملت كل شيء. Yani believing in the knowledge of Allah that encompasses everything. Believing in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that encompasses everything. And that the affair, وَأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ بِيَدِهِ, the whole affair is in the hands of Allah. He's the one who controls everything. وَأَنَّ مَا شَاءَ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Believing that whatever Allah wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will never happen. And if a person believes this, then who they will turn to? Yani Allah. فَفَوَّضَ أَمْرَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى طَالِبًا مِنْهُ الْخِيرَةَ. لَا يَنْدَمْ مَنْ يَسْتَخِيرُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So this person who turns his affair over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him. Yani whatever Allah decides for me, that's what I know is best. This person who seeks the choice, to seeks to do what is best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who does this, they will never regret. وَيَسْتَشِيرُ أَهْلُ الْفَضْلِ وَالنُّبْلِ وَالْعِلْمُ وَالْدِرَاءِ And that person also consults, ishtishara, consults with the people of nobility, the people of knowledge, the people who are aware, who have yani experience in certain areas. Yani istikhara, yani turning to Allah, asking for what is right, what is best, and what is the khair, where is the khair. And then also consulting with the people of knowledge, the people of nobility, the people who you trust in their integrity, in their character, in their aqidah, in their deen, and their knowledge of the affair. You trust them. And we don't trust anybody. You can't even just go to a hospital and put your life in the hands of a doctor who's a mushrik and a pagan and maybe a devil worshipper. Definitely he's probably a homo. The whole country is homos. All of them. Passively or actively. But you consult with the person you trust. Them. They believe in Allah. You trust them. That they have experience and knowledge and expertise and they believe in Allah. Allah, you can't trust these other people. Some of them will tell you, don't fast. You can't do that. That's harmful to you. Why? Because they don't want you to fast. Because they know that's worshiping Allah. And the people who don't worship Allah, they don't want nobody worshiping Allah. They don't want people worshiping Allah. They want you to be like them, to go to the hellfire. So the Shaykh, he says what? It is for this reason that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, that it is said, ma nadima, ma nadima, من استخار وما خاب من استشار. Yani the person who makes istikhara, he will never regret. And the person who consults with the people worthy of consultation, he will never fail. He will never go wrong. He will never be frustrated. So it is in the likeness of these kinds of situations, يحتاج العبد إلى هذين الأمرين معا, that the worshipper is in need of these two things together, al-istikhara and istishara. In this kind of situation, we are in need of these two things together. Yani istikhara, istikhara to Allah, yani that a person, yani azza wa jalla fi talab al-khira minhu jalla wa ala, that a person seeks from Allah to guide them, to choose for them that in which the khair is contained. واستشارة الأهل الرأي والعلم والدراية والفهم, and then consulting with the people whose opinion is worthy to be considered, the people of knowledge and acquaintance and experience and understanding. These two things a person is in need of at this time. And I remind us here of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, third surah, not mentioned in the book, 159th ayat, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرَ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's saying, and consult with them, meaning the companions. Consult with them about the affairs. Not what Allah has commanded or prohibited, but the other things that he's not sure about, he needs to make a decision about. Consult with them about it. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then, if you make a decision, put your trust in Allah. And you make istikhara, make istishara, and then what Allah guides you to, go with it. Without hesitation, without doubt. Naam, but Allah commands us to consult. Yani the leader of the Muslims is supposed to consult with the people who are worthy of consultation. For indeed, the one who makes istikhara will not regret. And the one who consults with the people of knowledge and insight, they will not go wrong. They will not, yani be, they will not fail. They will not be disappointed. They will not be frustrated. Bi idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani by the permission of Allah. And Allah is in control of everything. And this is because Allah Azza wa Jalla has encouraged His worshippers to consult, ashura, and a tashawur. He encouraged us to consult, and especially in the affairs which are unclear or are doubtful to a person. And here he says that there is some more speech from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah about the matter of istikhara. And he will talk about this a second time, its importance and the need. of the person for this at the time when he talks about the third topic in this book, that is al-makasib. Yani, what is the best means for a person for earning their livelihood? What is the best thing that a person can do to earn their livelihood? When he talks about that subject, and in the next session, yani, he's going to come back again to istikhara. Well, istikhara, the Shaykh says, and istikhara has been narrated in an authentic hadith that's reported by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَ فِي الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to teach us the istikhara, dua, for all affairs. And he used to give the meticulousness of his teaching us it was in the same way that he used to teach us a chapter from the Qur'an. Meaning that, carefully, word by word. And this is, and here also, in this yani statement, in this hadith, there's also tanbih. Yani something that should be called to our attention, that is, the importance of memorizing the wordings, the expressions of istikhara, just as they came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he said it, that's the way we should say it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to teach them istikhara in the same way that he used to teach them a surah of the Quran. And indeed, the one who makes a mistake in one letter or one word in a chapter of the Quran, he has to be what? Corrected. He has to be corrected. We don't let that go. Say it's close. No, it has to be corrected. And likewise, the expressions of istikhara, yani the Prophet ﷺ used to teach them to his companions in the same way he used to teach them a chapter of the Quran. In the hadith, yani Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he says, يَقُولُ إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِالْأَمْرِ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ فَرِيضًا. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, if any one of you hamma, yani bil-amri, yani is concerned about an affair they're thinking about doing, they have a mind to do something, then he must فَلْيَرْكَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ, he must pray two raka min غَيْرِ فَرِيضَ, yani from other than the obligatory prayers. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Razak حفظه الله, even if it was tahiyatul masjid or any nawafil prayer or the ratiba qabliya or ba'diya lis-salawat, yani the sunnah prayers that are regularly prayed before or after the five congregational prayers, or even a prayer, a voluntary prayer that a person performs specifically for istikhara. It doesn't matter. Al-muhim, what is important, is that it should not be from the fard prayers, from Dhuha, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, or Fajr. It should be from any other than the fard prayers. He prays these two rak'ah from other than the obligatory prayers that Allah has ordained upon us. And the Shaykh says, لَمْ يَرِدْ فِي تُرْكَ الْحَدِيثِ وَرِوَايَاتِهِ تعيين قراءة لكل ركعة من هاتين ركعتين فيقرأ ما تيسر من القرآن الكريم. يعني there hasn't been anything narrated in any of the reports of this hadith that's authentic. There hasn't been anything narrated that specifies what you are to recite in each one of those two rak'ah. Rather, a person recites whatever is easy for them from the Quran. In some of the madhahib, we find that according to Hanafi madhab and Hanbali madhab, Hanafi madhab and Shafi madhab and Maliki, Shafi, and Hanafi, they said, not Hanbali madhab, they said no, but the other madhab said you should recite Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad and Kul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, and then they explain why and have some discussion, but none of it has been reported in the hadith. The Hanbali madhab, they say, recite whatever is easy for you from the Quran. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, لِيَقُلْ, then he must say, yani he's going to perform yani these two rak'ah of prayer, that's other than obligatory prayer, and then he's going to recite this supplication that we must learn. And even if we learn it just from reading it and just practice reading it, so that when we need it, we can say it and study it so that we know its meaning, so that when we are saying it, we have some idea what we are saying. He said, say, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmika. O Allah, I seek, yani, from your knowledge, astakhiruka, yani that you choose for me that in which the khair is contained. Where is the good? وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ, and I also, from your power, your all, yani encompassing power, I seek from you the ability to do that which you show me is the good is in it. That you give me the ability to do it. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ, and I ask you from your magnificent great bounty and favor, yani that you give me something of the khair, And whatever you point to, that is from your bounty and your favor. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something you earned or you're entitled to. So we are asking Allah to guide us, to enable us, and then to give us from His favor and His bounty that He gives freely to whoever He wills. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Indeed, you are the one who has all ability, and I don't have the ability. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا عَلَمُ. And you are the one who knows, and I don't know. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. And you are the one who knows everything about the unseen. The Shaykh, he says here, yani this expression, اللهم, yani the word came after this, اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر. Yani, oh Allah, if you know, yani in your perfect knowledge, if you see that this affair, and he says here you should mention or name the affair that you're asking about, whatever it is that you are getting ready to do, that you are seeking, you are making istikhara about, whether it's marriage or trade or traveling or other than that. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبتي أمري. And if you know that this affair is going to be good for me in three matters, in my deen, and in my ma'ashi, yani in my life in this world, my livelihood in the dunya, yani in my deen and in my worldly life, وعاقبتي أمري, and in the end of my affair, meaning in the next life. If you know that this thing is going to be good for me in my religious life, and in my worldly life, and in the end, which is the most important, and in the end of the affair, that this is going to be good for me. And the narrator said, or he said, yani instead of yani fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri, he said, aw qala ajili amri wa ajili. Or he said, yani in that which is happening now, or that which will be coming later. Yani that which is happening now, it could mean in this present time, and then later on in my life, or it could mean in this present life in this world, and later on in the life of the next life. And the meaning is similar to what the words that preceded it. He said, if you see that this is khair in my deen, in my life in this world, and in the end of, yani in the next life, فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ. Then, yani decree it for me, and make it easy for me, and bless me in it. Bless me in it. يعني بكثرة الخير. يعني with a lot of خير in it. If you see that it's good for me. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ شَرٌّ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي أَوْ قَالَ عَاجِلِ أَمْرِي وَآجِلِهِ فَاصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَاصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ وَاقْدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي بِهِ أَوْ أَرْضِنِي بِهِ. In the two different narrations in Bukhari, both of them came. And if you know that this affair is going to be evil for me in my deen and in my livelihood in this world, and in the end of my affair, yani that which is now or that which is later, then turn it away from me. And turn me away from it. Yani remove it from my heart, my inclination, my feeling to do so. Turn it away from me. Make it so that I can't get it. And turn me away from it so I don't want it. وَقْدُرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ. And decree for me the khair wherever it is, somewhere else. Wherever it is, decree for me the khair. ثُمَّ رَدِّنِي بِهِ أَوْ أَرْضِنِي بِهِ. Meaning the same thing, right? And then make me to be pleased with it. Yani that what you have decreed for me, that I be pleased with it. Not that what Allah has decreed, that's not what I really wanted. I'm not really pleased with that. Yani decree for me that which is good, and make me to be pleased with that which you have decreed. And didn't the Prophet ﷺ used to say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. Yani, I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb. My Rabb is the one who decrees for me whatever He wills and what He sees. And I'm pleased with that, whatever it may be. Even sometimes it's bitter. He says, وَيُسَمِّ حَاجَتَهُ. And he should also mention the thing that he is in need of, or whatever he is making istikhara about, as he pointed to previously, whether it's marriage or business or traveling or other than that. And istikhara, its affair is azeem. And this is a magnificent matter. The returns, the benefits that comes to the abd who is a believer, abdullahi al-mu'min, the returns that come to him is azeem jiddan, tremendous, magnificent. For indeed, whoever seeks guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which is khair, mufawwidan amrahu ila Allah, and surrenders his affair to Allah, seeking help and assistance and success and correctness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for indeed, this person will never regret, and this person will not fail, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And then the Shaykh, he says, قَالَ Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah says, وَلْيُكْثِرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَمِنَ الدُّعَاءِ. And do this istikhara a lot, and also make a lot of supplication in general, dua. يعني يُكْثِرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, يعني every time some affair comes to you, presents itself to you, appears to you, occurs to you, that is unclear, it is not clear what is its condition, then make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, make a lot of supplication. That is, always, dawman, yas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hidayah, wal-tawfiq, wal-sadad, wal-salah al-deen, wal-salah al-dunya, wal-salah al-akhir, wal-salah sha'ni kullihi. Yani, that a person, what? Should constantly be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and success and correctness and the rectification of their deen and the rectification of their dunya, their worldly life, and the rectification of their akhirah, where they will end up in the end, the rectification of their affairs, all of them. Constantly, a person should be calling on Allah, asking Him to correct their affair, to yani make their affair better. They should be making a lot of supplication. And this is because the dua, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, is miftah kulli khayrin. It is the key to every good, everything that is good. So he said, yani make a lot of this, yani istikhara, and a lot of dua, because indeed dua is the key to every khair. Why is dua the key to every khair? Here the Shaykh says, let's reflect upon this tremendous word that clarifies this affair. Yani, why dua is the key to every khair? Yani, a word that was spoken by one of the Imams, Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir, rahimahullah. Yani, one of the Imams of the Tabi'een. And his statement is reported by Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, in his book, Az-Zuhd. He said, rahimahullah, تَذَكَّرْتُ مَا جِمَعَ الْخَيْرِ. Yani, I thought about, I reflected upon what? What is the thing that gathers, collects all of the khair? Is it in what? It is in what? فَإِذَنْ الْخَيْرُ كَثِيرٌ. So I saw that khair is kathir. There is a lot of khair. As-salat, was-sawm, yani prayers and fasting. وَإِذَا هُوَ فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then I saw that all of this, khair, the salat, siyam, yani every type of good deed, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaykh here now, he's explaining this statement. Yani Shaykh Abdul Razak is explaining this statement. He sees that, suddenly he realizes what? That it's all in the hands of Allah. Yani, meaning that I am not able to pray except that Allah helps me. That I am not able to fast except that Allah helps me. I am not able to perform anything from the types of birr, goodness, or the types of ta'at, obedience, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps me. Yani, what are you able to do of good except by the help of Allah? And that's why we say in our salat every day, in every rak'ah, of every prayer, what? Iyaka na'budu, wa iyaka nasta'in. Yani, we intend to worship Allah alone, but how can we do it except that we seek help from Allah in every type of good? Yani, the Imam, Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir, rahimahullah, he says, so I saw that the khair is kathir, salat, as-sawm, as-salat, and I saw that it is all in the hand of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَإِذَا أَنْتَ لَا تَقْدِرُ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا أَنْ تَسْعَلَهُ فَيُعْتِيَكَ. So he saw that what? That you are not able, you don't have any control over what's in the hand of Allah, except that you ask Him, and He gives it to you. Yani, every khair is in the hand of Allah. And you have no power over what is in the hand of Allah. Except that you supplicate to Him, that you ask Him, and He gives it to you. فَإِذَا جِمَعَ الْخَيْرِ الدُّعَى. Then that which gathers together every khair, it is a dua. If that's not enough for us to start making a little more dua. And how many times of a day do you supplicate to Allah? 5 times a day when you pray the obligatory prayers? Yani, more than that? Less than that? Every morning, evening, noon, night? How many times a day do we supplicate to Allah? Then we need to supplicate more. Because there's a hadith that's sahih where the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever calls upon Allah, He will definitely answer them. And the companions, yani, they said, فَإِذَا نُكْثِرْ. Yani, then we will ask a lot. And the Prophet said, وَاللَّهُ أَكْثَرْ. And Allah will answer. Allah is able to answer more than that. They said, if He's definitely going to answer every time we ask, we're going to ask a lot. So what do we say when we are told that Allah is going to answer? And as much as we ask, He's able to answer. So what are we going to do? That's the question for everyone, for yourself. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue not to ask Allah? The Shaykh, he says, It is for this reason that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that the key for every khair, yani that dua is the key to every khair. Anything of good that you want for yourself, in your deen, in your worldly life, in your hereafter, it is incumbent upon you to take this miftah. What is the miftah? We learned that in yani chapter 1, Medina book 1, miftah. Key. And it is upon you to take hold of this key. And that is a dua and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah, الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ أَزِّمَّةُ الْأُمُورِ, the one in whose hand is the absolute control, the power over everything. In his hand is الْخَفْضُ وَالْرَفْضُ وَالْقَبْضُ وَالْبَسْطُ وَالْعَطَاءُ وَالْمَنُّ وَالْعِزُّ وَالذُّلُّ وَالْحَيَاةُ وَالْمَوْتُ. يعني in his hand is the lowering or the raising, the limiting or expanding, the giving or withholding, the honoring or bringing low, life and death, everything is in the hands of Allah. The hidayah and dalal, guidance and misguidance, everything is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not possible for a person to be successful in anything of khair except that Allah makes it easy for him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. And there's nothing easy except what Allah made easy. Except what Allah made easy. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا شِتَّ سَهْلًا. And you are the one who makes difficult things easy, if you will. نعم. يعني Allah, there's nothing easy except Allah made easy. And even if it's difficult, Allah He can make it easy if He wills. The key is what? Dua. The miftah to khair is dua. Ask Allah. He's the one who makes things easy, and He makes difficult things easy if He wills. And there's also another statement from Mutarrif, rahimahullah, yani which has the same meaning, which is amazing. In that statement, rahimahullah, he said, that if my heart was taken out, ukhrij, qalbi ukhrij, wa wudiya fi shimali, and it was placed in my left hand, and then all the khayrat, all of it, were brought and placed in my right hand. Yani my heart is in my left hand, and all the khayrat are in my hand, in my left hand. If that was done, لم أستطيع أن أولج شيئا منها في قلبي إلا أن يكون الله هو الذي يضعه. يعني, and I would not be able to take any of that khair and put it into my heart, except that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who would put it there. And even if it was in my hands, I wouldn't be able to do it, except that Allah is the one who makes it happen. So all of the affairs are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives and withholds, who lowers and raises, who yani restricts or expands, who honors and lowers, yani humiliates. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one, everything is in His hand. So dua, it is the key of every khair. And for this reason, it is incumbent upon the Muslim, أن يكون دائما يكثر الدعاء ويكثر السؤال. Yani all the time we have to make a lot of supplication and frequently be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves for His servant to ask Him. Not like the people, right? They hate if you ask too much. Allah loves for His servant to ask Him. And if the servant stops or leaves, abandons asking Him, Allah becomes angry with the servant. And it's narrated in a hadith. That is sahih. Yani the hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and others. And Shaykh al-Albani said that it is hasan. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man lam yas'al, man lam yas'al Allah, yaghdab alayhi." Whoever doesn't ask Allah, yani for their needs, then Allah became angry with him. In some of the narrations it said, "Ghadib Allah alayhi." Man lam yas'al Allah, ghadib Allahu alayhi. Then Allah will become angry with him. And in another hadith that's also authentic, reported by At-Tirmidhi and others, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's hasan, and Al-Hakim said that it is sahih, and Al-Dhahabi agreed with him. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَى. Yani there's nothing more honorable in front of Allah more than dua. Meaning there's nothing more ashraf or afdal, nothing better in front of Allah except that you are calling upon Him. And in another hadith that's also sahih, إِنَّ الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. And in some of the narrations that's not authentic, it says, الدُّعَى مُخَ الْعِبَادَةِ. The dua is the core, the essence of ibadah. The hadith, the sahih, الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Yani dua, it is ibadah. Just like al-hajj arafah, yani the whole hajj is not arafah, but the core, the essence of hajj is arafah. And there's all kinds of worship, but the most important, the essence of worship, is dua. Al-dua huwa al-ibadah. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in an authentic hadith. So it is mustahab for a Muslim to make a lot of dua. And whoever has been given dua, he has been given the answer. And whoever has been given the tawfiq to make dua, they have also been given the response. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call upon me and I will answer you. But you have to call. So if you have been given the success to call, you are guaranteed the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, لَأَحْمِلُ حَمَّ الْإِجَابَةِ وَلَكِنْ أَحْمِلْ حَمَّ الدُّعَاءِ. يعني I'm not concerned about the responsibility of the answer. But what am I concerned about is the supplication. يعني if I get the supplication in, Allah is responsible for answering. I'm not worried about the answer. Huh? Worry about yourself. It's in your hand. Allah already promised. Call on Him, He will answer you. That's what you should be worrying about. Don't worry about, is Allah going to answer? But you call on Him sincerely. So whoever reflects upon this. Here the Shaykh, he says, and we are running out of time. Allahu musta'an. And the Shaykh, he says something very important here. Please reflect on this meaning that he's saying here. Whoever reflects upon his condition in his affairs, he will see that many important things are passing him by in life, in which he needs. Yani يحتاج إليها. He needs these things in his deen, or in his dunya, or in getting near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that he is in need of these things. This is you and me, right? This is not somebody else, somewhere else. Right? This is talking to you, talking to me, right? He knows that he's in need of these things. وحاجته إليها شديدة. He's in yani serious, severe need of these things. And he knows that every affair is in the hands of Allah. ولكننا نضعف كثيرا في الدعاء. But we are weak in supplicating to Allah. And we know that we are in need, and we know that every need can only be fulfilled by Allah. And yet, still, we're doing something else. We're trying to solve it by a rally, a demonstration, a court petition, I don't know, something else, whatever. Huh? Maybe the president will help us, or the governor, or the mayor. Call on Allah. The one who's able and willing. In His hands are all affairs. Get up in the night, in the last third of the night, and pray a couple of rak'ah and ask Allah. Wallahi, that's better for you than anything that you might be doing, calling on people. I don't care who they are. It could be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, or your wife. Calling Allah is better than all of that. He's the only one who can do everything. And He's willing to do it. And He's promised that if you call Him, He will answer you in one of three ways. So the Prophet, the Shaykh, he says here, so, yani dua, it is the key of every khair, and don't be hasty. And what is the meaning of being hasty? Yani, that is that a person says, I have supplicated and I have not been responded to. And it has been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, in a hadith as reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, he said, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعَجَلْ. Yani one of you, every one of you will be responded to, as long as he is not hasty. What is al-ajla, hastiness? Is that the person supplicates to Allah once or twice or three times, and then he says, da'utu falam yustajab li. Yani I supplicated, I didn't get no answer. Reflect upon the dua of al-abrar. And this is, and these are supplications that came in the end of Surah Ali Imran. In the end of Surah Ali Imran. From 191, 191st ayah to 195th ayah. Reflect upon the supplication of the Abrar. And these are the ending, yani ayats from Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people repetitively, persistently, insistently called upon Him, repeatedly asking, Rabbana, 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 Rabbana. They repeated this 7 times. Yani they asked Allah again and again and again. And then Allah said, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. And then Allah answered them. The first time? No. Second time? Third time? They kept asking. They kept asking. And Allah answers. So this, from this, the scholars say that the one who is persistent, who is insistent in asking Allah, who asks Allah a lot, supplicates to Allah a lot, calls upon Allah a lot, then it is likely expected that they will be answered. So from the causes of the answering of the dua is that a person is persistent in it. Yani insistent, constant, frequent. Yani ikthar tark al-bab, knocking at the door a lot, asking a lot, turning to Allah, seeking refuge in Allah a lot. It doesn't mean that a person supplicates once or twice or three times and then say, I supplicated and I wasn't answered. Rather, they have to continue to ask. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَيَتَحَرَّ أَلْقَاتَ الْفَاضِلَ كَآخِرِ اللَّيْلِ, and that they should, يعني, seek out eagerly, search for the preferable times like the end of the night. This time that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is referring to here, it is أَحْرَ الْأَوْقَاتَ الْإِجَابَةِ. It is the most worthy and most likely time for acceptance or responding to one's dua. The last third of the night. And it's reported in the two Sahihs and in other than them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yanzilu Rabbuna ila samaa'id dunya kull laylatin fi thuluth al-layl al-akhir." Yani that our Rabb, he comes down to the samaa'id dunya, to the heaven of this world, every single night in the last third of the night. And he says, "Man yas'aluni fa'atiyahu, wa man yad'uni fa'astajib lahu, wa man yastaghfiruni fa'aghfira lahu." Yani, who is it that will, yani, request from me so that I will give him? And who is it that will supplicate to me so that I will answer him? And who is it that will seek forgiveness from me so that I will forgive him? This is a noble, honorable time, yani, to the highest extent that one can imagine. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says also in the Quran, in the third surah, 17th ayat, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْهَارِ. Yani, those مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ, those people who are asking forgiveness in the last hours of the night. And in another surah, وَبِلْ أَسْهَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the last hours of the night before dawn, they are actively seeking forgiveness of Allah in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st surah, 18th ayah. This is a noble time. Yani, a great noble time. And it is the most likely, most worthy time for dua to be answered. However, this time, this noble, honorable, yani, blessed time is wasted by many of us due to as-sahr. Yani, staying up in the night. That we have been tested with in this time, in this era. And the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited people to stay up. Yani, night, staying up in the night chatting after, yani, the night has fallen. So since, yani, this time when we became tested and tried, in this day and time with a lot of staying up at the night, yani, staying long hours of the night to, yani, 12 o'clock at night and 1 o'clock in the morning, and then a person goes to sleep, how can they expect to wake up in the last third of the night? Rather, the person who is in this condition, it is said, we ask Allah to save him from even missing the Salatul Fajr. Forget about getting up in the night. They don't even come for Fajr. Yani, this time is lost, it is wasted, the Salatul Fajr, a lot. Even some of the people that they are looked at as being righteous or religious or upright, they are also missing the Salatul Fajr in every week at least once or twice or three times. Huh? Think about this. Huh? Think about myself. This is a great, tremendous musibah. Yani, it is a waste and a loss that this noble, honorable time is wasted. And also, when these new instruments came, you know, internet and stuff like this, computers and smartphones, we have also been tested by this in this time. Yani, a person stays up in the night looking at this thing, watching it, and then his head becomes heavy so that he can't get up for Salatul Fajr. Not to mention getting up in the night for Qiyam and supplicating and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this great, tremendous, magnificent, blessed time. In fact, he said, this time is more valuable than you can imagine. Our Rabb descends to the heaven of this world in the last third of the night. And he says, who will ask me? Who will supplicate to me? Who will seek forgiveness of me? So if a person reflects on his own condition, he will find that in reality, he has denied himself a lot of khair. Rather, the situation has come to the extent that the people in this day and time, in this particular, yani, period of time in the night, this blessed, honorable, noble time, that they are continuously staying up in the night, engaged in yani frivolous activities and falsehood. In the time in which yani an-nuzul al-ilahi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya. Even in this, the time in which is the time of seeking forgiveness, we find that the people are playing with games, that they are watching things that are haram, that they are sitting in gatherings of yani falsehood and foolishness, and other than that, until the morning overcomes them. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, seek out these virtuous times. And he began with the last end of the night. He mentioned this time first when he said virtuous times, the akhir al-layl, the end of the night. He began with this and gave it precedence over other times because this is the best time for dua to be answered. It is a noble, virtuous time. And in it, yani is the descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that period of time. And the saying of our Rabb in the hadith, yani also a hadith that is reported by Darqutni, he said, لا أسأل عن عبادي أحدا غيري من يسألني من يدعوني من يستغفرني. Yani I don't ask anyone about my servants other than myself. Yani Allah is not asking anyone about us. Who are we then to ask other than Him? Yani He is saying, who will ask me? Who will supplicate to me? Who will seek my forgiveness? This is a valuable time, yani to no end. And then the Shaykh mentions yani the incident of the brother who he said after he heard the dars, yani he mentions the story, we talked about it before. He said that, just to complete the story, he said this brother, he wanted to forgive and pardon those who had wronged him, and he couldn't find himself to do it. And finally he got up in the last third of the night, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and suddenly his heart was opened, and he pardoned them, and he forgave them, and he mentioned them by name. And the Shaykh says, many of the people find that when they are honored by Allah, yani Allah honors you to give attention, to give care to this time, to get up in the night, in that time, and call upon Him and ask for Him. Many of the people find tremendous, amazing benefits and results. And then he said, I mentioned another story, yani of a brother who was involved in da'wah, and I summarized the story for the sake of time. He said he was involved in da'wah in his country, and he said the brother told him privately in a sitting that he used to give da'wah to individuals in his country, but he used to get up in the night, in the last third of the night, and he would pray as much as Allah decreed for him to pray, and he would recite from the Quran whatever Allah had decreed for him to recite, and then he would ask Allah, oh Allah, save someone at my hands, save a person, save some people at my hands. And he said he would, in the morning, he would go out and he would start, and he would meet a person, he would find somebody by themselves, and he would give them da'wah, and every time he asked Allah, Allah would give him one or two or three, and people were accepting Islam. From what? From him getting up in the night, in the last third of the night, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Allah never yani refused me. He never turned me down. The Shaykh, he says, yani the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, select, search out the preferable times, like the end of the night, or at the end of the salat, or at the time of the adhan. He said, adbar as-salawat, yani the ending of the salat, yani it was asked, as it came in a hadith, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ayyu ad-du'a asma'u, yani which du'a is more likely to be heard and answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fi jawf al-layl wa adbar as-salawat al-maktuba, yani in the middle of the night and at the ends of the obligatory prayers, dubur as-salat al-maktuba, at the end of the obligatory prayers. This is also a great, magnificent time for supplication. Wal arjah, and what is more likely to be correct, yani al-rajih, that the intended meaning of dubur salat in that which is connected to dua. Notice that the Shaykh said here, فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالدُّعَى. He doesn't mean here that which is connected to dhikr. Yani dhikr that's at the dubur salat means after the salat, and Allah knows best. But he said, dua that's dubur salat, it means in the end of the prayer before taslim. These are two different issues, dhikr and dua. So the Shaykh is saying here, in reference to dua, he said the more correct opinion, that the end of the salat here, yani that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying, that one of the best times for supplication is adbar as-salawat. It means, yani qabla as-salam, before you make taslim. While you're still in the prayer, while you're in connection, in communion with Allah, this is the best time to supplicate. And we studied before in Ta'zim al-Salat, right? How the Prophet used to supplicate in Salat, and standing in ruku and sujood, in every position of the prayer, he was supplicating. Because in the prayer is the best time for a person to supplicate. And he said, this is the opinion that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has, the conclusion that he has come to, and some other scholars have also come to this conclusion, that the supplication, the time here, at the ends of this prayer, means in the prayer, before the taslim, While the majority of the scholars, the majority say, no, it means after the prayer. The majority. But Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said that it means, and some other few scholars said it means in the end of the prayer before you make taslim. So before a person makes taslim, they should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever Allah makes easy for them, especially the comprehensive supplications that have been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, عند الأذان, and also from those times, at the time of the adhan, it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ثنتان لا وما تردان الدعاء عند النداء عند الأذان وتحت مطر. Yani that there are two times when dua is not yani rejected. That is the dua that's at the time of the nida, meaning the adhan, and the dua that is taht al-matar, yani when a person is in the rain falling on them. And this hadith yani is talking about these are times in which dua is not rejected, of course, as long as the other conditions of dua are fulfilled. And likewise, the Shaykh says, between the adhan and the iqamah is also a virtuous time. And then he closes with the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, وَإِنْدَ الْأَذَانِ وَوَقْتُ النُّزُولِ الْمَطْرِ وَنَحْوِهِ. Yani at the time of the adhan, and the time when the rain is descending, and that which is similar to that. And that which is similar to that means the other virtuous times that have been narrated in the sunnah, that a person should seek out to make dua at those times, like the hour on the day of Jumu'ah, when dua is not, yani rejected, when it is accepted. Or on the day of Arafah. Or other than that, from the times and the conditions or circumstances that are known to be superior or virtuous. Well, shahid, and this is what the Shaykh closes with, the shahid, yani the point is that the Muslim, yambaghi alayhi, it is incumbent upon us. It is expected of us. It is befitting of us that we make a lot of supplication, that we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a lot in all of those things that are in our interests, whether it is our religious interests or our worldly interests, or the interest in the next life. Yani the things in reference to our deen, or our dunya, or the next life, that it is incumbent upon us to ask Allah a lot. And he closes with the comprehensive hadith that is reported in Sahih Muslim, supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma aslih li deeni alladhi huwa asmatul amri, wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi, wa aslih li akhirati allati fiha ma'adi, waj'al al-hayat ziyadatan li fi kulli khair. And it should be waj'al al-mauta rahatan li min kulli shar. Yani, O Allah, rectify and make good for me my deen, which is really the controlling factor of all of my affairs, if my deen is right. And make right for me my worldly life, which contains my affairs, yani my livelihood in this world and my lifespan in this world. And rectify and make right for me my akhirah, meaning my end, what way I will be in the next life, yani which deals with my ma'ad, when I return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And make the life in this world, the hayat, an increase for me in every khair. And make the death a rest for me from every evil. And it's not possible for a person to rectify their worldly life, nor possible for them to rectify their ukhra, yani your next life. It's not possible for a person to rectify their deen, illa إِذَا أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَلِكَ, except that Allah is the one who makes that happen. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every need in every situation or circumstance. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants tawfiq to myself first, and to each of us, and whoever yani this reaches, that Allah grant us tawfiq in yani not just listening to something that sounds good from the Quran or from the Sunnah, from the scholars of Islam, and the advice that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah has given us in this topic is tremendous, that we don't go home and fall asleep on it and then forget about it tomorrow and next week come back and we haven't done anything. Wallahi, it is incumbent upon us. We will be questioned about what we do with what we know. We will be questioned. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.